chapter 18.
Okay, Genesis 18.
Before 19.
Yeah. It's on page 28 in my Bible, if that helps you.
On page 25.
25 in that Bible.
32.
Or 30, whatever. All right, ladies on the couch, you guys have Bibles?
Early 30s.
Got a Bible? Okay, nice Bible. Is that new?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yes, she lost her
old.
I didn't lose it. It's
just hiding from the it can be found.
This is my backup.
You're supposed to hide it in your heart, not let it hide itself from you.
Yeah.
All right. Settle down. Genesis 18. So, did one of you guys, are one of you guys doing the past point reading? Are you doing the past point reading? Okay. Are you doing the New Testament or the whole thing?
Doing all of it.
Okay. Are you guys doing it?
What?
You were looking at me like you were doing it also. The
Passpoint
reading plan? No? Okay. Well, Passpoint's doing a thing where they're reading through the Bible in a year. So, Hallie's doing it. I think all the adults in there, are you doing it?
No.
No, you're doing Kale's thing.
No, I haven't seen that. I'm doing 52 weeks of pursuit right now.
Oh, that's what you're doing too. Okay. What did you say? You're doing it? Okay. Anyways, so, We're reading some Genesis and a Psalm and then a chapter in Mark, pretty much every day. And so, I'm just going to talk a little, because normally what we would do in here tonight would be whatever book we talked about on Sunday, but we haven't had class on Sunday for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Feels like it's been a long time since we've been together in class. So, so I don't want to start on Isaiah, because we're going to do Isaiah Sunday and then we'll do an Isaiah devotion next Wednesday night. So tonight's kind of a weird night in between, but so I've been reading through Genesis, and so I read through Genesis 18. Was that yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
Okay. Anyway, so you guys know about Sodom and Gomorrah? You guys know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yep.
Yeah?
You're supposed to be at church yesterday?
No. Didn't say that at all. I was reading my Bible yesterday, and I read Genesis 18. I mean, I was here yesterday. You could have been here if you wanted to be, but there was no services. It'd just be me, you, and Brianna. Yeah. Yeah, we haven't had service here since last Sunday before last. Anyways, Genesis 18. So at the first part of the chapter, they find out that they're going to have a baby, they being Abraham and Sarah, and they find out they're going to have a baby. Even though they're old, but then if you skip down, I really want to start in verse 16. So these men, these angels come to visit Abraham and Sarah to tell them that they're going to have a child. And so after they're done having this conversation with Abraham and Sarah, they, in verse 16 it says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Have you guys, I don't know, there's probably other times in the Bible, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. Maybe you guys can think of one where God asks himself a question. Can you guys think of any other times where God asks himself a question in the Bible? That by itself, I think, is kind of interesting.
It's like, involved the Trinity.
Huh?
His father a question.
Oh, that's true. I guess Jesus does ask questions of God. That's a good point.
Job, where he asks,
I mean, there's quite, Job, or God asks questions in the Bible, and people ask God questions, but I'm not saying there isn't any. There probably are. I'm just not thinking of them. But when I read this, it kind of stood out to me, because I'm like, I mean, God is asking himself, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And so, because he's getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And who lives in Sodom and Gomorrah at this time? Jackson Fleshman. Do you know? Who lives in Sodom and Gomorrah at this time in Genesis chapter 18? Huh?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
No. Those are the names of the cities. Who lives there? People did live there, yes. What specific person that we know, not personally, but know from the Bible, that lives there? Lot, yeah. Lot lives there. Abraham does not live there. Yeah, I didn't. I'm just gonna assume you're saying the right answer, because until you like say it loud enough, I can't hear. Anyway, so if you remember, Abraham and Lot, their flocks and their servants grew so much that they couldn't dwell together anymore. They were arguing and fighting too much. They're fighting over the land, and Abraham's like, "Listen, you look out over all the land you can see, and you pick where you want to go, and I'll take the other. Like, if you want to go this way, I'll go this way. If you want to go that way, I'll go the other way. I don't care. You pick first, and I'll take whatever you don't want. And Lot picks that he wants to go towards Sodom. And so he kind of progressively through the first few chapters, the previous few chapters of this, he progressively works his way from being towards Sodom to being in Sodom to being one of the leaders in the city of Sodom. And so now God is getting ready to destroy Sodom. And so he's asking himself, should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? Because these guys are getting up from a conversation that they just had with Abraham and Sarah, and they're headed to Sodom, and they're going to destroy it. And so God's like, should I tell Abraham what's about to happen? That his nephew, Lot, and his family is going to be destroyed in this city. And so the part that I think is, I mean, I think it's interesting that he's asking himself a question and then records it for us. Of course, God's not asking the question like, he's not really like debating with himself. You know, I mean, God knows everything. He knows what he's going to do. But the part that's interesting is he says, should I hide from Abraham the thing that I shall do? And then he qualifies maybe why he shouldn't hide it from Abraham, why he should reveal his plan to Abraham. And this is the part I think is practical for me, for you guys. What he says about Abraham, he goes ahead and tells him the plan based on what he knows about Abraham, what kind of a person he is. He says, should I hide it from him? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He's already given him the Abrahamic covenant, the promise that he was going to bless his people and his seed for generations to come. He gave that back in Genesis chapter 12. And so he's like, should I hide this from Abraham? I mean, what does that mean? Why would he not want to hide it from Abraham? I mean, if I knew something bad was going to happen to one of your guys' family, and I could tell you to help prevent it, or you could spare that person, and I didn't do that, right? I mean, that would impact our relationship, for sure, if you found out that I knew ahead of time and I didn't tell you, right? That would be a problem. And so God's like, well, he's my chosen man. Like, his people are going to become the Israelites. I'm going to be working with the seed of Abraham for the rest of human history. Like, should I go ahead and tell this guy because I've given him this promise? But then what he says about him in verse 19, I think, is, so up until that point, that's the promise that God had made. But what he talks about in verse 19 talks about what kind of a man Abraham is, and goes to show, like, how will he handle this news that he's going to hear from God. So in verse 19, it says, this is still God talking about Abraham. This is the part that I think is really applicable to us. This is the kind of person that we want to be. So at the lock-in, I talked about the tongue, and I talked about, you know, controlling the things that we put into our you know, our eyes and our ears, controlling the things that we see and hear, and how that impacts the things that we do, and the way that we live our life, and how out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. And so I talked to you guys about, like, the importance of going forward in the new year, like, thinking about the things that you're consuming. And but then as I read this, I'm like, well, this is the kind of person that we should strive to be. God says that he knows Abraham. So it says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And so God says about Abraham, he says, I know this guy. So not only have I already given him the promise, and he's the guy I'm going to be dealing with, not only that, but I know him. He's going to handle his children and his household well. He's going to handle the news of this plan well. Like, he's the kind of person that's going to, says that he's going to keep the way of the Lord. He's going to do justice and judgment. And so, like, that's the kind of person I wrote down in my, like, journal that I'm taking. I wrote down, like, that's the kind of person that I want God to be able to look at my life and say, should I share my plan with Luke, or fill in your name in that blank? Do you want to know what God's plan is? Not only, I mean, for your life, for sure, you should want to know what that is. But do we want to know what God's plan is? You know, things that are going to be happening around us, how we're going to be impacted by what God's doing, and how can we be involved in that? And so he's saying, Abraham is not only my man that I'm going to be using, but he can handle this. Like, he can take this information that I'm going to give him, the destruction of the city of Sodom. He can handle this. He's a just person, and he's going to walk in the way, or he's going to keep the way of the Lord. And then it goes on. So God does decide to go ahead and tell him in verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will now go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So God tells him, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on in Sodom. And so I'm going to send my men down there to check it out. And, they're going to destroy it. Like, we're going to take care of, what's going on in Sodom. And so the men go ahead and they go on ahead. And then in verse 23, it starts this conversation. You guys have probably heard it. We're not going to read the whole thing, but it's this conversation back and forth between Abraham and God. And basically, Abraham is bartering or like negotiating. That's the word. Yeah, negotiating with God about, hey God, if there's 60 people or 50 people? Yeah, if there's 50 righteous. So verse 23 says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And so he starts off and he's like, God, man, there's got to be some people that are not involved in the wickedness that's going on in Sodom. Would you destroy righteous people with the wicked people? Like, what if there's 50 people? In verse 24, he says, peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? And he goes on back and forth, and God says, no, I'm not going to destroy it if there's 50 people. And he's like, well, God, how about 45 people? Would you destroy it if there's 45? No, I won't destroy it if there's 45. And he goes back and forth. And then if you get down to verse 32, and he said, this is Abraham, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. He's like, just God, one last number. Let me throw this out at you and see what you think. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. And this is me reading between the lines a little bit. I don't know exactly what Abraham was thinking and how this conversation went down other than what's recorded here. But my guess is that Abraham probably thought 10 was a good number, right? I mean, he's negotiated with God all the way down from 50 to 10. And he's like, God, if there's at least 10 people there that are righteous, will you just still destroy the city? And God's like, no. If there's 10 people there, when my men get there that are righteous, I won't destroy the city just to save those 10. And so my guess, I mean, this is, again, just what I'm thinking. Abraham knows that Lot is there and that his wife is there. He's got multiple children. We know of at least 2 daughters, plus he has some sons-in-law, so he probably has 3 or 4 or 5 daughters, right? And so, you know, you get to 10 people pretty fast. You know, once he's got him and his wife and his kids and their spouses, and if they have kids of their own, I don't know. But Abraham's like, man, there's got to be at least 10. You know, there's got to be, even if not a lot, like there's a whole city of people. There's got to be at least 10 people that are not, involved in this that are righteous people. And, chapter 19, and there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So this is where we see he's in a leadership position now. So not what Abraham was hoping for. Not, Lot's going to be fine, and probably his wife and maybe their kids. You know, he's like probably counting the numbers. Well, the first thing we see is Lot's leading, you know, in the city of Sodom. So already he's not going to be part of that list. And it goes on, and these angels come into the city, and basically it's like everything's wicked and terrible, and God's like, nah. I mean, God already knew there was not going to be 10 people there, but the exercise of going back and forth, because he revealed his plan to Abraham, it gave Abraham the opportunity to talk to God about it and to negotiate that plan with him. And I mean, God knew before the conversation started that Abraham was going to get down to 10 people, and God was going to say yes, and there wasn't going to be 10 people. And so it's like, why go through the whole process of negotiating back? Why did God even, I mean, when he asked the question of himself and 16, 17, 18, when God's asking himself that question, he already knows if I tell him, he's going to want to say no, and we're going to have this whole conversation, and there's not going to be enough people, I'm going to destroy the city anyways. So why does God go through all that? Why does God go through, why does he give us half a chapter of conversations and negotiations that don't ultimately mean anything? Why does God go through that process? Why is this recorded in the Bible for us? What do you guys think?
Hey, pass some of your water.
Why would God record that? Why would God even go through the process? Does God still do that now? He's graceful and merciful. That's why he was willing to take it all the way down to 10. But why would he have the conversation with Abraham in the first place? Like, what? I mean, yes, he is gracious and merciful for sure, but
Abraham's his, like, son, his, like, chosen person.
Yeah.
What? I said teach him a lesson. Like, to show him, like, hey.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so he wants to, I mean, he has those conversations with us, right? If we have a relationship with God, we can talk to God about, go through things. God, why is this happening? And God, I really need your help with this thing or that thing. And like, God wants to have a relationship. God had this whole conversation with him because he wants to have a relationship. And this is still pretty early on. I mean, just earlier in this chapter, the part we didn't read where he's talking about, giving them a son, Abraham like laughed about that. He's like, dude, I'm 99 years old. How am I supposed to have a child? My wife's 90. You know, we're not getting any younger. Like, how are we supposed to have kids? That time in our life is past. And so just, earlier in this chapter, God was having to deal with Abraham's faithfulness. And we always think about Abraham and rightfully so, that he's a man of faith and he's the father of the Jews and like all of this stuff. He's an important man in the Bible and in history. And he was definitely a godly man, but Abraham wasn't perfect. And God wants a relationship with him. And so God's like, I'm going to go through this conversation with him. Already knowing what I know, I'm still going to go through this for his benefit. Not for God's benefit, but for Abraham's benefit. To see, hey, I can talk to God and God's going to listen to me. And, I'm going to be able to, maybe not sway God's decisions, but I have input in what God's doing. And like, I can be part of God's plan. God was deciding whether or not he wanted to have this to even include Abraham in the first place. But not only did he include him, but he allowed him to have input on the plan. And so for us, like when we're, trying to have a relationship with the Lord, we get to have input. Like ultimately, not my will, but thy will be done. Like that's what Jesus tells God in the garden, right? He tells him like, I don't want to go through with this crucifixion thing, but God, not my will, but your will be done. And so that's how we should be in our own life. But God wants us to like, enjoy our life and to have things, to have input on things and he allows us to make our own decisions on things and like ultimately he can use those things for his glory as long as we're willing to let him. But he did all this back and forth with Abraham for Abraham's benefit to strengthen the relationship that they had to show him, hey, there's value in your relationship with me. I value you and I value your input and, you can help have some say in these things. And ultimately, it's not going to go the way that you want it to go because, unfortunately, there's not even 10 righteous people. There's not even probably one righteous person, at least that we know about. There wasn't even one righteous person in this city. But it goes to show that God is interested in man. He wants to have a relationship with man to the point that he's willing to let Abraham have some input in this conversation. It's kind of the same thing like we do with our kids sometimes. Like, I want my kids' input to a certain point, and at a certain point it's like, okay, well, we're just going to do what I'm saying we're going to do because we're going to do it that way. But it is important that like we have that conversation because not just for my kids' benefit, but it strengthens our relationship. They know I care about their input, and it doesn't always change the outcome, but it can be part of the conversation, and we can discuss those things. And so God talks about this with Abraham. Ultimately, he does destroy Sodom, but he doesn't just destroy Sodom. He does go in, he sends his angels in there, and they get Lot and his family out, right? Ultimately, it only ends up being Lot and two of his daughters because nobody else came with him. If you read the rest of that story, it's sad and gross, but so they get out, him and his wife and his two kids, two daughters get out. But if you read the story, he goes to his sons-in-law and he's like, hey, these angels are here. The city's going to be destroyed. We got to get out of here. And they laugh and they make fun of him. They say, I forget exactly how it says that they said about him. Yeah, they thought he was like being silly. Like they thought he was mocking them. Yeah.
Verse 14.
And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And so, like, even his own family is like, what, dude, you've never talked like this before. This, you sound crazy. Because he's saying, hey, this place is going to be destroyed tomorrow. So, yeah, ultimately his family doesn't get out except for him and his wife and his two youngest daughters. And, yeah, his wife, when they get out of the city, the angels tell him, hey, we're going back to the city to destroy it. Like, don't look back. Like, you know, don't turn back. And his wife turns back, and obviously the whole picture of that is, you know, she wants the life that they had there. She's looking back on what could have been, what she did have, and not looking forward onto, you know, the things that, like, where they were moving forward. That was her old life, and she had a new life waiting for her outside of Sodom. But she looked back, and because she, you know, wanted to go back to those things. And so, yeah, God turned her to a pillar of salt. So only Lot and his two daughters made it out. And some bad stuff happens with them in that chapter, too. But I don't know. Obviously, the whole Bible, you know, is things that we can apply. And I do feel like this time through, I'm noticing things. We were just talking, the adults over here were just talking about this time through the Bible, like we're picking up on different things. Every time you read through the Bible, anytime you read a new chapter, not a new chapter, but like a chapter you haven't read for a while, you get something different out of it every single time. And so every night when I'm sitting down, or every morning, or whenever I'm reading, I'm trying to write down stuff that I'm picking up, the things I haven't seen before. All of us were like, we're noticing things that we haven't seen the last time we read it or any other time before. And they've got the PassPoint class is doing like a texting group, and so they're texting each other, hey, this is what I saw, this is what I saw. And even some people are texting and saying that they saw something they hadn't seen before. And it, so each time you read the Bible, it does give you different things, because you're different than the last time you read it. What's going on in your life is different than the last time you read it. You know, you're more mature, hopefully, than the last time you read it. God can reveal new things to you that he couldn't reveal to you when you were younger in Christ or physically. And so, but the whole Bible is written so we can apply the things that we're learning. So, I mean, what I just gave you, this little devotional thought that God showed me last night or yesterday when I was reading, that doesn't have to be the thing that that you guys apply. That's just something that God showed me. But each time, wherever you're reading, whether you're doing the PassPoint reading plan or you're doing your own thing, whatever, wherever you're reading the Bible, be looking for things of how God can, or what God's trying to say to you and how you can apply what you're reading. This coming Sunday, so we were going to do this last Sunday, but since we canceled service, Brian didn't end up doing it. But every year, like the first Sunday in January, Brian does a vision update, and he talks about, you know, the theme for the year, and he talks about you know, where the church is going and all that. Of course, the plan is always the same. We're supposed to share the gospel. We're supposed to disciple people. You know, all those things are not changing. It's not like it's a new vision. But the theme for this year is plowing the field. And he's going to be talking a lot about the heart, tilling up the soil of the heart. And so you guys are going to hear that from him a lot. You know, he'll tie that throughout all of his, you know, messages and stuff this year. He's going to be talking about our heart and how, you know, we need to allow our heart to receive, like, the Word of God and be convicted by it. Allow that to kind of tear your heart up a little bit and then fix it and, like, you know, rebuild it in a better way. And so, every time you read the Bible, you should be looking for that. I should be looking for that. These are things that I'm telling you, that things that are things that I'm also trying to work on myself. But yeah, so God wants to include us in his plan. That's kind of the point, or the main thing that I got from this is God wants to include you in his plan. You got to be saved, right? That's number one. And then what's next? You got to be baptized. What comes after that? You know, take part in the Lord's Supper and maybe get discipled. Right? Maybe you tell other people about Jesus. Maybe you invite people to youth events or church. You know, you're looking for opportunities to, like, step outside your comfort zone a little bit. Get a little bit less of what you want, a little bit more of what God wants. And then the thing that will slowly change over time is the things that God wants become the things that you want. You know, like, the more you do that, the more you allow God's plan to just, okay, God, I don't even want to be in control of it anymore. You just take over and I just want to do your plan. The more we do that, then God changes our desires to be more what he wants. And then it really picks up steam. And then you start getting involved in ministry and you start teaching other people and you start, you can disciple somebody else and take them through the Bible and, you know, all those different things. But, God has, you know, that basic plan for all of us, but it looks different for each one of us. Each one of us has, a lot of you guys go to different schools. Some of you guys who have jobs now are going to be working different places. All the adults here have a different job at a different place. So we all have different fields to reach. But so God has a, you know, custom plan for each one of us. But he wants to include us. God wanted to include Abraham. But he didn't want to include him if he wasn't going to be able to handle it. And so that's why he gives us that verse telling us, hey, Abraham is a just man. He's righteous. He's going to be able to handle this information that I'm giving him. And then Abraham does handle it well, you know, and has that conversation with God. So 7:45, let's pray. Jeff is teaching tonight, so they'll probably be out on time or maybe a few minutes early. I don't know. No offense, Brian, if you listen to this.